word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they shall see me. And then we come to the Great Commission up in the Galilee, verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, isn't this a great ending to the first book and gospel? And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with us till the end, even right now. He is with us. He was with us in worship. He was with us. Somebody said, I forgot who it was. Somebody was telling me about last night. Somebody came up to a person and asked, does God show up in your services? Well, we can say God certainly does show up. Amen. I'm not sure what kind of question that was, but anyway, God does show up. Amen. We are blessed. In John chapter 11, if you want to turn there, we have another story of another resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. This is the hallmark. I was going to go to 1 Corinthians 15 as well, where it talks about the gospel. I'll leave that as homework for you to read that chapter some today, 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is in summary form, the first six verses, the most concise presentation of the gospel in the Bible is in the first six verses of the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. But I want to come into the story of Lazarus, and then I want to read a couple of scriptures, and I have something I want you to listen to, and then I want to end the service. I don't want to be a long service today, but we've already prayed for people, we've already had communion, but I want you to soak in the presence of the Lord a little bit this morning and go out with that power of God, all right? And the story of Lazarus is a story just before Jesus died. It was in the last couple of weeks of Jesus' life before his crucifixion. And Lazarus was a dear friend of his from Bethany, Mary and Martha's brother. And it says here, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany in the village of Mary and her sister, and let me tell you the synopsis here. And they sent word to Jesus, he's up in the Galilee, come, your friend Lazarus is sick. And his disciples said, we better go. And Jesus says, no, we better wait. And they wait 3 days, and then he says to them, Lazarus is asleep, we better go wake him up. And the disciples are saying, well, if he's asleep, certainly somebody else can wake him up. And then finally they come out and they say, you don't understand. I mean, he's dead. We need to go. And so off they go down to Jerusalem and to Bethany, just outside of Bethany. And as word begins to come to the attention of the two sisters, Martha and Mary, Martha runs out to meet him, and she says these words. In verse 18, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. Now, I've always wondered, why didn't Martha and Mary go at the same time? It sounded like they were together. But for sake of this stage in the story, I guess God had to arrange. I don't know, but Martha just... You know, we always think Martha wasn't the spiritual one, but here she is. She's the first one to run to Jesus here. So let's keep that in mind. All right? And Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary still sat in the house. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd just been here, my brother would not have died. Now, that's incredible faith. Lord, if you'd just been here. And that's true. If Jesus had been there, he would not have died. All right? Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it. Well, that's an interesting expression. And Jesus said to your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, yeah, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Then Jesus said to her these words, I am the resurrection. Let me say that again. I am the resurrection. Martha, look at me. I am the resurrection. No, Martha, you don't understand. Martha, you're not getting it. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And I put that out to you today. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that when you die, that you will rise again? Do you believe that? Do you believe that you will rise from the dead with Christ Jesus in the last day, or you will rise up with him and be caught up when he appears, if depending on which comes first? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe the words of Jesus Christ? The biggest problem, the biggest obstacle that we have to see the things of God in our lives, in our communities, is unbelief. And that's why he's saying, do you believe? Do you believe? I am the resurrection and the life. And you all know the story. She said, yes, Lord, I have believed that you're the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. All right? But now fast forward past Mary, and we go to the tomb. And verse 39, and this is after Jesus weeps, and he's emotional. And Jesus said, remove the stone. Well, here's Martha's belief. Look at it right here. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been there 4 days. God likes to put our faith to the test. He likes to stretch us. He stayed up in the Galilee so Lazarus would die, so that he could have this moment, this time to show his resurrection power. Ooh, Jesus replied to her, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And so they listened to him. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me. In other words, God, I don't have to speak nice and loud. I know you hear me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they might believe. Believe. That they might believe that thou didst send me. Do we believe that Jesus is who he said he is? And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. You know, and I'm sure many of you have heard this, if he didn't put the word Lazarus on the front, and he just said, because there's a lot of graves there, if he just said, come forth, they all would have came out. You know, later when he died, tombs were open. The power of God were open and people walked around. Saints of old. And he who died came forth bound. All right. Hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with his cloth. Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. And so there's an unbinding that needs to happen. It's not just life coming back. There needs to be some unwrapping of some things in our lives that have got us tripped up and trapped up, addictions and mindsets and issues. Even if we do believe, we need some assistance from somebody else to help us to get free. This is not a Lone Ranger type of relationship. Yes, it's between us and him and our relationship, and we need to make that decision. But once we have the life of Christ in us, we need each other. When I am down, I need Victoria to come and unwrap some of this junk on me. All right? She never has that problem. We need each other. We really do. And the danger is if I think that I'm doing well and I'm okay, I don't need anybody else's help, I don't have to go to church, I don't have to, you know, I can read my Bible, I'm okay on my own. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, do not forsake the assembling of the brethren, as some are, but all the more gather, meet. Get together, all right? All the more you see the day approaching. Now the day is approaching. What's that day approaching? It's judgment day. It's the day of the Lord's return. It's the day of the vengeance of the Lord. It's a day that's going to be scary like no other days for those that are not believers. It's going to be a great day for those that know the Lord. It's going to be an awesome day. We need to be meeting together, not because we're scared, but because, whoa, it's almost going home day. It's almost time to be called up. It's almost that time. And we need to gather together. And just as we read in Matthew chapter 28, we need to have that commissioning afresh to go out to the byways. All right? Now, we have just a little commercial here. We have June the 5th, we have a time of street ministry. Some of you have been with us before, some of you haven't. And, you know, maybe next week after service, Victoria and a couple others can lead and have a short meeting about that. And then when I come home, we can have a final meeting. But we need people to do some face painting. We need people to man the prayer station. We need people to pray for people. We need people to invite people to come out to summer camp and whatnot. So it's an outreach for 20, 30, 40,000 people. It's the street festival here in Aurora. All right. We need to come together to be encouraged, to build, be built up so that we can go out and share our faith and be light in this time of darkness. All right. And so I want to just kind of close my first closing. It's a lengthy one. And it's a four-page closing. That, all right. I don't know if I'll go through them all. There's just some verses I want to read. And this whole concept of I am is powerful. Jesus says that I am the bread of life. We had the bread. We remembered the Lord. All right? And they said, how can we do this? Eat your flesh, drink your blood. In John chapter 6. You know, one thing that I've been meditating on all week is after his resurrection, he did a few miracles, like, you know, just walking through walls. That was just normal for him, all right? And had some fish frying somehow and caused him to catch an abundance of fish once again, Galilee. But he never healed anybody after that. I never realized that. You would have thought that would have been, boom, okay, now watch. If you thought I was good before, look at me now, you know. So let me show off a little bit now. He didn't. One of the reasons for that is because he said on the cross, it is finished. His work is finished. Now, the finished work of Christ has to do with our reconciliation to God. But his work of healing the sick is over. He's released that ministry. Go and do likewise. Go, he said in the Great Commission, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the demonic spirits. He said, his work's done. Now you go and do it. And he said, greater things you'll do. Isn't that amazing? So I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Again in John, it says, I am the gate. Now those that have taken the tabernacle story, this should just jump right off the page. I am the gate. Not just any old gate. I am the only gate. In the tabernacle, in the temple, there was only one gate. And Jesus, I am the gate. I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. I shall go in and shall go in and go out and find pasture to find peace. Provision. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You know, my sheep hear his voice. Then in John 14:6, we should have about 20 people in the room be able to memorize, to speak that. Jesus said, I am. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. You know, a lot of people believe there's different ways to God. A lot of people believe, well, you can take the Hindu way, the Buddhist way, take the Muslim way. You know, you can take this way, go up to the top of the mountain. Doesn't matter what path you take. God's there. As you know, you just do your own thing. I'm sorry. God says to do my thing. My way is the only way. We get in a lot of trouble with that. Oh, you're so narrow-minded. You're so rigid. You're so, you know, anybody had somebody say, oh, you Christians, you're... It's not it's our fault. We're just, we've discovered that this book is true, that Jesus is the way, and he's the only way. Then he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And I'm going to come back to something, but I'm just going to read a few more verses here. Just take about 5 minutes to read some verses in the Old and New Testament. All right, in Genesis, it says, I am God. The God of your father. He said that to Jacob at Bethel. The angels ascending and descending. All right. To Moses at the burning bush. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Later he said to Moses, that same portion, he says, I am who I am. Moses, who shall I say sent me to go down and to set the captives free, to set the people in Egypt, your people free? What shall I say your name is? I am who I am. Then a few words later, he says, I am has sent you. The eternal now. God is always now. All right? He did something in the past. He will do something in the future, but he is always present. He is always powerful right now. I am. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. He says, I am compassionate. In the book of Leviticus, when Moses is on the mountain, repeatedly he says, speak to the Israelites and say to them, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God who set you apart from the nations. He said to Aaron, so they will not profane my holy name, I am the Lord. I am the Lord who made you holy. Numbers says, I am the Lord. I am your share and your inheritance. Skipping over to Isaiah, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer. I am the Lord, maker of all things. A chapter later, he writes, I am the Lord, and there is no other. God is making it clear that there's no room. Ten Commandments, he says, I'm a jealous God. Do not worship any other God before me. In Isaiah 46, says, I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. And he proved it by his resurrection. Isaiah 48, listen to me, Jacob, Israel, who I have called, I am he. I am the first and the last. Jesus says the same thing in the book of Revelations, where he says, behold, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And then back to Isaiah 48. This is a good one. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. We kind of think we know what's best for us. And he says, He says, I am the Lord, Glenn, that knows what's best for you. Mike, I am the Lord. I know what's best for you. Mike's headed to the military soon, in about a month, for second boot camp or something, specialized training or whatever it is. Keep him in prayer as well. Isaiah 51, I am the Lord. Oh, let me go back. I forgot. I know what's best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. 51, I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea so its waves roar. That sounds a little bit like a possible tsunami, because tsunamis are from earthquakes in the bottom of the ocean. That's how they're started in some type of way. And all earthquakes, I believe, are the finger of God. God just comes down and shh. The great earthquake in 1906 in San Francisco resulted in, a few months later, the Great Awakening, the Great Revival of Azusa Street. Tracts were written about that, and people in California were absolutely terrified. And I don't know if this is a word we can take to the bank, but there's a word saying the next one after Japan is California. I don't know. I mean, we've been hearing that for years. All right? God is stirring. He's awakening. All right? Either he permits it or he does it. I'm not sure which. Maybe both. All right? In John chapter 18, you want to turn there. I'm almost done. I'm on my last page, last two verses. If you can cue up that music there and get it ready to go. What is absolutely amazing is when Judas betrays Jesus, they come out to the Garden of Gethsemane, the place of intimacy, a place where he is struggled with his mission. And he hears the soldiers. He says, look, the sound of soldiers. And the disciples get up. They all began to run and flee. Peter's there. And a Roman cohort, verse 3. And officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, whom do you seek? And they answered him, Jesus, the Nazarene. And then he said these words. He said to them, I am he. And the power of those words. And Judas also was there betraying him, standing there with him. And when therefore he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. The power and the authority of his words, they fell over. Nobody took Jesus. He willingly went. Nobody took Jesus. They didn't come and wrap him up and said, see, we got you. He voluntarily went. Now, this is amazing. This is after Lazarus rises from the dead. Things are happening fast. Peter is absolutely he is so bumping up and down. This is the time. This is the King of Kings. This is the God Almighty. And look at that. They all fell over. This is our time to rise up. And he gets a moment of courage, incredible courage. He loses it shortly after. All right. He's impulsive. And so verse 10, Simon Peter, having the only sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The name of the slave was Malchus. And Jesus, put the sword away. Put it away, the cup which the Father has given me to drink. Shall I not drink it? And then another version says, you know, I don't know if he picked up the ear or just put his hand on it. And boom, the ear was healed. Now, I think that guy was changed the rest of his life. I think he probably became a believer on the spot. You know what I mean? On the spot. Praise God. I am. Turn back to chapter 8, and I want to read my favorite scripture in John. To me, one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. One that challenges me whenever I read it. Let me paint the scenario here, all right? Jesus is having a little dialogue with the authorities, the leaders, religious leaders. And he's just finished saying, "If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And they're having this argument about who he is and what's his authority and where did he come from. They're talking about Abraham, and they're talking about all his heritage and whatnot. Who are you? And they're saying, well, you have a demon. And so verse 52, the Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. All right? Abraham died and the prophets also. You say, if any man keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham. Everything about Abraham was the most important person. He was the starter of their faith and their religion. And Jesus was challenging that he was even greater than Abraham. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, 54, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day when he saw it and was glad. Oh, and you see in the stage here, I mean, there is some anger in this crowd. There is a riot about to explode because he's challenging everything that is religious in them. He's challenging everything. And they're about to rise up. They're so upset. In fact, they do that. Therefore, the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old. And you've seen Abraham. And here's the verse I love. I love in the scripture. 858. In fact, that's my email address. And now we got Skype. That's my Skype address. Okay, John 8 and then number 58. All right, if you have Skype, you can Skype me, okay? All right, John 8:58. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Let me say that one more time. Can you get this? Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. He just came out and emphatically said to these people, I am God. To the Jewish mindset to come out and say, I am, takes you right back to Moses in the burning bush. Who shall I say sent you? I am that I am. And so when he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? I am. Jesus says, I am God. Do you believe this? Lord, I pray. I pray. Praise God. Shunda, Baba. We're going to lower the lights. And for about 5 or 6 minutes, I'm going to encourage you to listen to some I am statements and be refreshed and be energized in the Holy Ghost and leave here transformed. After this, if you want some prayer, we'll pray for you. But just take a few minutes. It's okay. If you have to leave or if you have to go, just step out or talk. Just step out in the foyer. Let's make this a holy place for the next 6-8 minutes. All right? As we listen to this CD.
God of sacrifice. I am the Christ. I am the cup of the blood. I am the eternal sacrifice. I am the blood that cleanses you from sin.
If you want to find a place to lay, you certainly can or kneel.
I am the crucified Messiah of Calvary. I am your righteousness. I am the Yom Kippur offering to expiate all sins. I am worthy to open and read the scroll. I am Noah's Ark in a world still filled with sin. I am the wine and the bread. I am alive forevermore. I am the sprinkled blood of the Lamb on the doorposts of Israel. I am the door to the Father. I am the Lord who rescues those with a contrite spirit. I am God's Son, sent to be seen face to face. I am He that left heaven for you. I am your sanctification. I am the blood atonement. I am God's only Son. I am eternally blind to what I've forgiven. I am the bread of life broken for you. I am He who blots out your transgressions. I am supplication. I am the pierced Messiah. I am the keeper of the keys to Hades and death. I am the God of your salvation. I am the Lamb that was slain. I am the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I am outside the camp. Come to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Judge of all creation. I am the King of kings. I am with the generation of the righteous. I am God. My statutes rejoice the heart. I am the one who makes unbreakable covenants with man. I am holy, pure, and undefiled. I am God. Beside me, there is no God. I am God by which all actions are weighed. I am God. My testimony is sure. I am God. My commandments enlighten the eyes. I am the witness on your behalf. I am righteous. Kings humble themselves before me. I am God whose eyelids test the sons of men. I am the spirit of wisdom. I am my ordinances. I am the divine judge of all things. I am the law. I am my statutes. Walk in them. I am judge of the living and the dead. I am the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I am righteous. I am perfect knowledge. I am before whom every tongue will confess. I am the Lord who loves righteousness. I am the unbiased, impartial judge. I am the Lord, and my judgments are righteous altogether. I am he who sent Moses to deliver Israel. I am God, and no one can reverse my acts. I am to be feared above all gods. I am God who refines you. I am my judgments. I am the Lord who heals you. Shows you things to come. I am the seven spirits, and they are me. I am the Lord. The fear of me is a fountain of life. I am God. My secrets are with those who fear me. I am life's guarantor of joy and health. I am God who will be found by those who seek me with all their heart and soul. I am, and you shall know my names. I am he who leads you in the paths of righteousness. I am the architect of the last days. I am the sole key giver of heaven. I am the God who hears. I am the Lord who hears those who speak about my name. I am God who leads you to prophesy. I am the soon coming King. I am the Lord, I do not change. I am always with you wherever you are. I am God who speaks through dreams. I am God who reveals his form. I am the healing you seek. I am the Savior who will descend on the Mount of Olives. I am God who gives you visions. I am God of those who are growing old. I am coming quickly. I am the one coming on the white horse. I am the soon rending of the heavens. I am the precision of my scripture. I am waiting for you.
God.
For you.
Father, I pray that that would just resonate in the chambers of our spirit, our soul, and our mind. Let our bodies be quickened today, because you are the resurrection. You said, I am the resurrection. We believe that this morning. And I speak a blessing each person here today. I speak that resurrection blessing in their households and their families. I speak that resurrection power in their health. We speak that resurrection over their finances in Jesus' name. We speak that resurrection of life and joy and liberty. I speak that resurrection and freedom over things that bind us and keep us in the grave. The stone is rolled away. We are free in Jesus' name indeed. Hallelujah. Let's go in that victory and go in that authority, because he's given us all authority. So go and make disciples. Go and be his witness. Go and be the light of this world. Amen. We'll open the altars right now for anybody that would like prayer. I want to bless those. I believe we have some coffee on. You can fellowship a little bit. But have a great Easter dinner if you're eating, if you're gathering with families. And we just bless you. Bless all the young people who don't have to go to school tomorrow. God bless you all. And I'll see you tomorrow night, some of you, many of you. And the rest of you, don't forget, next Sunday, David Padgett, powerful, mighty man of God. You've heard him prophesy. You've heard him pray. Now come in here and preach. Powerful man. He's been going out preaching some places the last couple years. All right? So God bless y'all.